What to do when persecution comes? The disciples of Christ would be betrayed even by members of their own households. "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." But he bade them not to expose themselves unnecessarily to persecution. He himself often left one field of labor for another in order to escape from those who were seeking his life. So his servants were not to be discouraged by persecution, but to seek a place where they could still labor for souls. But whatever the danger, Christ's followers must scorn concealment. They cannot remain uncommitted until assured of safety in confessing the truth. Jesus said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Jesus never purchased peace by compromise. His heart overflowed with love for the whole human race, but he was never indulgent to their sins. He was too much their friend to remain silent while they were pursuing a course that would ruin their souls. He labored that man should be true to himself, true to his higher, eternal interest. The servants of Christ, called to the same work, should beware lest, in seeking to prevent discord, they surrender truth. Real peace can never be secured by compromising principle. And no man can be true to principle without exciting opposition. Jesus told his disciples, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Their only fear should be lest they surrender truth and thus betray the trust with which God has honored them. Satan works to fill men's hearts with doubt. He tempts them to sin, and then to regard themselves as too vile to approach their heavenly Father. The Lord understands all this. Jesus assures his disciples of God's sympathy, that not a sigh is breathed, not a pain felt, not a grief pierces the soul, but the throb vibrates to the Father's heart. The Bible shows us God in his high and holy place, not inactive, not in silence and solitude, but surrounded by thousands of holy intelligences waiting to do his will. Through channels we cannot discern, he is in active communication with every part of his dominion, including this speck of a world. God is bending from his throne to hear the cry of the oppressed. To every sincere prayer he answers, "Here am I." He uplifts the distressed and downtrodden. In every temptation and trial the angel of his presence is near to deliver. Jesus continued, "As you confess me before men, so I will confess you before God and the holy angels. You are to be my witnesses upon earth, so I will be your representative in heaven. The Father beholds not your faulty character, but he sees you clothed in my perfection. And everyone who shares my sacrifice for the lost shall be a sharer in the glory and joy of the redeemed." He who would confess Christ must have Christ abiding in him. The disciples might speak fluently on doctrines, but unless they possessed Christ-like meekness and love, they were not confessing him. A spirit contrary to the spirit of Christ would deny him. Men may deny Christ by evil speaking, by foolish talking, by words that are untruthful or unkind. They may deny him by shunning life's burdens, by conforming to the world, by uncourteous behavior, by justifying self, by cherishing doubt, and borrowing trouble. "And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." The Savior said, "I have not come to send peace, but a sword." This strife is not the effect of the gospel, but of opposition to it. Of all persecution, the hardest to bear is in the home, the estrangement of dearest earthly friends. But Jesus declared, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. He that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. No act of kindness shown in his name will fail to be rewarded." He includes the feeblest and lowliest of the family of God. "Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Thus the Savior ended his instruction. The chosen 12 went out, as he had gone, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind.